And today is good day to start Bhagavatam also. Today is Purnima. So Purnima is... So Lord Krishna appeared in Chandravansh, right? And as Lord Krishna disappeared from this world and from our vision, as the moon, that moon set as Krishna Chandra moon, right? That moon set, the moon of Bhagavata arose. Because as Lord Krishna disappeared from this world, this Bhagavatam manifested in this world. And Bhagavatam is no different than Lord Krishna himself. So Bhagavata is considered as the personal manifestation of Lord Krishna. So we'll start Bhagavatam. And we'll be going sequentially from canto by canto and all the major topics from Bhagavatam as we move forward week by week. And so today we'll be starting as a basic introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the Mahatmya of Srimad Bhagavatam? Before we actually entered into discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll start with our invocation prayer and we'll say some special invocation prayers also. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavedanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaitya Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudhirai Nashtapraeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nishtiki Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayati Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarine Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Satchidananda Rupaya Vishvatpatyadi Hetave Tapatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Namaha Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindayo Namo Namaha Namah Pankaj Nabhaya, Namah Pankaj Maline, Namah Pankaj Netraya, Namaste Pankaj Anghare. Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta, Stuvanti Divye Stve, Vede Sangha Padakrama Upanishade, Gayanti Yam Samaga, Dhyanavasthita Tadgatena Manasa, Pashyanti Yam Yogino, Yasyantam na vidhu sura sura gana devayah tasmai namaha devayah tasmai namaha. So Granth Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
So as I mentioned, Srimad Bhagavatam is no different than the personal form of Lord Krishna. As Lord Krishna winded up his pastimes, his Leela, as Lord Krishna disappeared from our vision, at that time Srimad Bhagavatam appeared in this world as a manifestation of Lord Krishna. And what we do as recitation in the beginning as invocation prayer. So what is invocation prayer actually called is Mangala Charan. So what Mangala Charan is, Mangal Acharan, right? So that is, we are offering our prayers to Guru, to Lord, to all the devotees. So we offer prayers so that we can invoke auspiciousness, we can follow in the footstep of the Guru and the saintly people, and be able to receive the mercy of the Lord. To hear Harikatha, to speak about Harikatha, it needs the mercy of the Lord. Without the mercy of the Lord, we cannot hear the pastimes of the Lord, or one cannot be able to speak about the glories of the Lord. So, before we start Srimad Bhagavatam, we want to understand what Bhagavatam really is. There are many Vedic literature. There are Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, histories like Ramayana and Mahabharata. So, what is the position of Srimad Bhagavatam? So, Veda Vyas compiled all the Vedic literature in the beginning of Kali Yuga, before the Kali Yuga started. So Vyasadev put together all the knowledge, all the Vedic literature in the written form. And he compiled all, he split the Vedas into four Vedas. Originally it's one Veda which is directly spoken by Lord to Lord Brahma, right? Lord Vishnu to Lord Brahma. And Vyasadeva expanded that Veda, split it into four Vedas. And then he wrote all the Upanishads and 17 Puranas, and still he was not satisfied. And at that time his guru, Narad Muni, he appeared on the scene and he inspired him to compile this Bhagavat Puran, which includes all the pastimes of the Lord in his various incarnations. So, what is the real difference in Bhagavat and all other Vedic literature? So, there are many references in various scriptures which describe the position of Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, Chari Veda Dadi Bhagavat Navaneeta Mathilena Shuka Khailena Parikshit. Chari Veda Dadi, the four Vedas are like the yogurt. And Bhagavat Navaneeta, and Srimad Bhagavatam is like the butter. So, Shukdev Goswami is churning this yogurt, and he is bringing up the summary of all the Vedas. As the churning of the yogurt results into butter, so same way all the Vedas, all the other Puranas have been churned, and the condensed summary, the essence of all that knowledge is brought up as Bhagavat Puran. So this is the reference from, and Bhagavat Puran is also considered as Kalpataror Galitam Palam. All the Vedic literature, if we see as a kalpa vriksha, as a desire fulfilling tree. And the result of desire fulfilling tree is it can fulfill any desire, right? So that all the Vedic literature is considered as a kalpa vriksha. And this Bhagavata is the ripened fruit of that tree, of all the Vedic literature. Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashraya Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nana Arthakaya. So, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata. So, Bhagavata is non-different than Krishna. He is a personal form of Krishna as a literary incarnation of Krishna. Sarvashraya, he is the shelter of everything and everybody. Prati shloke prati akshare nana arthakaya. Every shloka of Bhagavatam, every word of Srimad Bhagavatam has many, many meanings to understand the essence of that. Sarva Vedanta saram hi Srimad Bhagavatam ishyate. Tad rasamrita triptasya nana yatra sayadrati kvichit. Sarva Vedanta saram hi Shri Bhagavatam ishyate. So what is Srimad Bhagavatam? It is the summary, the essence of all other Vedic literature. And one who derives, who drinks this nectar, and who is satisfied by drinking this nectar of this Bhagavat Puran, he has no attraction for any other literature in the world. Na yatra sayadratih kvachit. So he is not attracted to anything else, any other literature in the world. And this is what Srimad Bhagavatam itself is speaking about its own glory. So this particular verse comes in Srimad Bhagavatam itself in the 12th canto. So if we want to hear about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam itself is describing what is the position of Bhagavat. And at another place it said, as among all the rivers, Ganga is the topmost, Ganga is supreme. Among all the Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava. Same way on all the Purana, all the Vedic literature, Bhagavat Puran is the topmost. Vede Ramayane cha eva Purane Bharate tatha adhav ante cha madhye cha hari sarvatra giyate. So Vede Ramayane cha eva, all the Vedas and all the history like Ramayan, all the Puranas, Bharate tatha means and the Mahabharata. Adhav ante cha madhye cha, from the beginning to middle to end, everywhere, Hari sarvatra giyate. Who is sung, whose glories are sung in all the Vedic literature? It's Lord Hari. So Lord Hari's glories are sung everywhere throughout all the Puranas. And Bhagavat Puran is topmost among them. Srimat Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnava Nam Priyam Yasmin paramahansayam ekam amalam gyanam param giyate. Tatra gyana vairagya bhakti sahitam nashkaramayam avishkram. Tatshrano su patan vicharan paro bhaktya vimuchye narah. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. So Bhagavat Puran is the topmost literature without any fault. Puranam Amalam. Yat Vaishnava nam priyam. And it is the dearmost literature to all the Vaishnavas. Yasmin paramhansyam ekam amalam gyanam param giyate. And all the paramhansas are attracted towards Srimad Bhagavatam. And what they get out of this Bhagavatam, what we can get out of Srimad Bhagavatam, if we read Bhagavatam, if we hear Bhagavatam, what is the result? It says, tatra gyan vairagya bhakti sahitam. So Srimad Bhagavatam results into gyan, vairagya, and topmost result is bhakti. Tat shrano supatan vichara paro bhaktya vimuchyen naraha. And the devotees are attracted to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Tat shrano supatan, and to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Vicharan paro, and to think about it, to realize about it. So that is what devotees want to derive out of this. So if we really want to hear Bhagavatam, so we need to understand what Bhagavatam is. And what is the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam? And what result we can get out of Srimad Bhagavatam? So if we want to hear Bhagavatam, what is the qualification needed? What is the minimum qualification need? We need to hear Bhagavatam, to read Bhagavatam. See, these days there is a lot of Bhagavat Katha happening. Right? Everywhere there is Bhagavat Katha is happening. Bhagavat Saptah is happening. So it's like the rain is pouring, the rain is happening, but nobody is getting wet. So a lot of Bhagavad Katha is happening everywhere throughout the world. Bhagavad Saptah is happening. But are people really becoming drenched with bhakti? So people are still not getting the essence, getting the real fruit of that Bhagavad, which is the devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord. And the result is because when there is rain, if somebody is sitting under the rain carrying an umbrella, we cannot get wet. So same way when we hear Bhagavatam, if we don't have the respect towards Bhagavatam, if we don't have that basic minimum qualification, we cannot get wet with the nectar of Bhagavatam. So when somebody is sitting in under the rain or is standing under rain, so we can get wet. Even if somebody is getting wet, what will happen after some time, few hours later, one will get dry. But if somebody fills the pot with the rain water, then that rain water can be used multiple ways later. One can use it in many ways. One can keep sprinkling on itself to keep himself wet. So same way when we are hearing Bhagavatam, if we are absorbing the message of Bhagavatam, if we are getting wet and carrying that message in our heart, then when we keep thinking about that message, that pastimes of the Lord, we can keep ourselves wet and we can sprinkle that on others also. To give some message to others also, share it with others also. So this whole parampara, the whole system of hearing Bhagavatam is to drench in that nectarian rain of Bhagavatam and fill our hearts with that nectar. So when Vyasadev composed Bhagavatam, so Vyasadev spoke to Shukdev Goswami. So Shukdev Goswami filled his pot. Then Shukdev Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj in that assembly. Sutta Goswami, he got drenched and he filled his pot. Later on, Sutta Goswami went into the assembly of the sages, Naimisharanya, 88,000 sages. So he drenched all other sages there and they filled their pot and they drenched other. So in that way, the nectar of Bhagavatam is flowing down. As Lord Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, I spoke this knowledge to sun god Vivaswan. Vivaswan gave it to Manu. Manu gave it to his son Ikshvaku. And Ikshvaku gave it to his son. Like that, in the saintly kings received this knowledge. And this knowledge passed down. So same way, the message of Bhagavatam or any Vedic literature, if we want to hear, we have to hear with wholehearted. Wholehearted hearing that message, drenching ourselves in that nectar. And keeping that nectar with us in our heart. Rather than just getting dry after hearing this message after some time. And what is the other qualification needed actually to hear Bhagavatam? So the minimum qualification which the listeners need to have is Shraddha. So Shraddha is the minimum qualification which one need to have to be able to hear the message of Bhagavatam or any other scriptures also. And the qualification which the speaker need to have is Vishwas. So Shraddha and Vishwas is the mutual qualification between the listener and the speaker. In Ramcharitmanas, in the beginning, Goswami Tulsidas, he mentions, Bhavani Shankaro Vande Shraddha Vishwas Rupino. I offer my obeisances to Parvati and Lord Shiva, and they are the embodiment of Shraddha and Vishwas. So Bhavani and Shankara are compared to Shraddha and Vishwas. And in that way, because the original speaker of Ramcharitmanas or Ramayana in that way is Parvati and Lord Shiva. Parvati is the listener and Lord Shiva is the speaker. So Parvati is compared to Shraddha and Lord Shiva is compared to Vishwas. So there is a subtle difference between Shraddha and Vishwas. But sometimes we think Shraddha, Vishwas, both are the same thing. Right? We use interchangeably. But there is a little subtle difference. What is Shraddha and what is Vishwas? So Shraddha is having trust in something. When we have heard about it, we have seen somebody else having trust in that. So we also develop a trust. But our trust can change. We may have trust in something one day and we may have trust in something else second day. We may believe in somebody first day, in some person, in some sadhu one day. Next day we may have trust in some other sadhu. So our trust is changing. Shraddha is not as an unflinching faith. Right? So Shraddha is the beginning of the trust. But that is the basic qualification needed. So Parvati or Sati, Parvati in her previous life, Sati had the Shraddha. He had heard about the Supreme Lord from her husband. So she had the Shraddha that yes, Supreme Lord appears time to time in various forms. And as they were coming, after hearing Ramkatha, as Sati and Lord Shiva are passing through the forest, Lord Ram has already appeared in the world and he is doing his Leela. And he is searching Mother Sita at that time, at that particular pastime. And Lord Shiva, when he saw, he paid obeisances. And Sati asked, whom are you paying obeisances? So this is my worshipable Lord, he has appeared as Lord Ram. And Sati, when she saw Lord Ram, even though she had heard from her husband about the Supreme Lord, and she is also a devotee in one sense, but when she saw Lord Ram, she could not maintain her level of Shraddha. She said, no, how can he be the Supreme Lord? He is just acting like an ordinary person. He is like a Kami Purush, who is searching out for his wife, calling out, hey Lata, hey Vriksh, hey Mriga, have you seen my wife? So she did not have that faith, had that Vishwas. Her Shraddha was shaken away. But Lord Shiva had the complete trust. His Vishwas, his faith was unshakable. So, Shraddha is the beginning of faith as initial trust. And one need to have that. So our Shraddha can be changing. We may have Shraddha in one Guru or in one Sadhu today, another person tomorrow. So Shraddha is needed. We should have Shraddha in everybody. We should have Shraddha in all the Devi Devatas. But Vishwas is in the Supreme Lord. We should have Shraddha in all the Sadhus, in all the saintly people. But we should have full Vishwas in the Guru. So Shraddha, Vishwas, Rupino. Shraddha and Vishwas. And when we hear with the Shraddha, when we hear Bhagavad Katha with the Shraddha, then our Shraddha transforms into Vishwas. And the speaker, the qualification of speaker is in his, he need to have complete Vishwas, complete faith in the subject matter one is speaking, in the Supreme Lord, if one is speaking about the Supreme Lord, one need to have the unflinching faith. Then only the effect can manifest into the heart of the listeners also. And what is the result of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? When we say Srimad Bhagavatam, the word Srimad, Srimad is, meaning of Srimad is beautiful. And actually the Srimad refers to Srimati Radharani also. And Bhagavatam is, Bhag means Bhagwan, Vat means like. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the beautiful Supreme Lord. Or Bhagavatam also means about the Supreme Lord. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the beautiful narrations of the Supreme Lord. And another meaning of Bhagavatam, if we closely analyze the word Bhagavat, Bhagavata, right, the four letters there. So here in Bhagavat, the Bha stands for Bhakti, Ga stands for Gyan, Va stands for Vairagya, and Tha stands for Tyag. And the result of Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, is one gains Bhakti, Vairagya and Gyan. So Bhakti, Gyan, Vairagya. And what is the minimum thing needed to gain Bhakti, Gyan, Vairagya? The one should be able to give up something, Tyag. If we are ready to give up something, then we can get Bhakti Jnana Vairagya. And what minimum we should give up? So if we really want to become happy in this world, actually we have to give up. Tyag. But generally the conception is, if I gain something, then I will become happy. Isn't it? If I get something, if I get a big house, if I get nice car, if I have nice wife, nice children, nice family, then I will become happy. But here it is said, when we give up something, then actually you can become happy. Once one person went to a sadhu. Sadhu Maharaj, I want to be peaceful. I want happiness. I want to become peaceful. Mujhe shanti chahiye. So the sadhu said, अगर शांति चाहिए तो पहले इच्छाओं को शांत करो. सो इफ वी कैन पैसिफाई अवर डिजायर्स एंड अवर वॉन्ट्स देन वी कैन गेट गेन द रियल पीस. सो टू गेन द भक्ति ज्ञान एंड वैराग्य वी हैव टू गिव अप समथिंग. And to give up something, the basic, at least the bare minimum thing we can give up something is to give up the wrong association. Tyajiye Hari Vimukhan ko sang. Whoever are not the devotees of the Lord, who are not the devotees of Lord Hari, giving up the association of those people. Now one may say, okay, how can I give up the association of all these worldly people? I have to stay in the world. Right? I have to go to my work. I have to interact with people. So how can I give up all that association? So what does it mean is Tyajiye Hari Bhakta Hari Vimokhan ko sang, give up the association of all non-devotees. So what real association means? What is association? So to associate with somebody means to gain their mood, their feelings, to capture their bhava in our heart also. So if we are associating with somebody and we are getting influenced by their thought process, it means we are associating with that person. But if we are sitting there, we are not listening to them, we are not getting influenced with their thinking, their thought process, their desires, their wrong tendencies, it means we are not really getting their association. But we should be ready to give our association to them. Right? We have the opportunity to give our association, to influence them with our thought process. That everybody need to take to the devotional service. If we can influence others with that thought process, then you are giving your association to them. So going to work, yes, we are working with many other people. So we just, if we maintain our relationship to the level of just interacting for work-related things, but we are not really getting their thinking, their thought process, implementing those things in our life, in our daily routine, that is not real association. So same way, coming to the saintly association also, just coming to the satsang program doesn't mean we are getting association. If we do not go back with that bhav, if we are not getting influenced with those thought process, those messages which we hear, it means we are not really getting the association. We are just coming there, sitting there, but not really getting the association. For example, a fly may come and sit on the lap of a sadhu. Come and sit on the lap of the guru. But is that the fly getting the association of the guru? So the fly is sitting there. For the fly, she is sitting on the lap. Maybe it's like the food. Mosquito comes and sits there. For it, it's the food. It's not that he is really getting the association of the sadhu. So the real association is to come in the program, get influenced by that thought process, by that message which we hear. And if we really with that bhav hear the message of Bhagavad, then really one can get that bhakti, jnana and vairagya. So how the Srimad Bhagavatam starts, so everybody understand what is the bare minimum qualification, Shraddha. One need to have Shraddha in the speaker, in the message, in the subject matter. Then only we can gain something. Now before Srimad Bhagavatam starts, if we can understand the Mahatmya of Srimad Bhagavatam, what Srimad Bhagavatam, how Srimad Bhagavatam is glorified, what is the glorification of Bhagavatam, then we will be able to appreciate and absorb the masses even much better. And Bhagavatam's Mahatmya is described in Skanda Puran and Padma Puran. So in Padma Puran there are 4 chapters describing the Mahatmya of Srimad Bhagavatam. And same way in Skanda Puran, it's in much more detail actually in Skanda Puran, about 10 chapters, which describe Mahatmya of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are multiple pastimes which describe Bhagavat Mahatmya. So as the Sutta Goswami appeared at Nameshwaranya in the assembly of all the sages, when Sutta Goswami was asked the question by all the rishis to speak about Bhagavatam. Sutta Goswami said, I will first describe the Mahatmya, the Bhagavat Mahatmya. I will describe the pastime how Narad Muni heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And all the those sages, they inquired, how come Narad Muni heard Srimad Bhagavatam? And Narad Muni is the guru of Vyasadeva who instructed him to compose Bhagavatam. How Narad heard Bhagavatam? And Narad cannot stay at one place for a long time. So how did he stay for that long to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? So please describe to us in detail about this whole pastime. And as Sutta Goswami started the description, that at another time of Kali Yuga, as Narad Muni appeared, he was wandering through the different parts of the material world. He came to different places and he was very depressed seeing the situation of this material world, seeing the situation of the Kali Yuga. And as he was wandering through various places, ultimately he reached Badrika Ashram. And Badrika Ashram, he met his elder brothers. And who are the elder brothers of Narad? The four Kumaras. The Sanak, Sanatan, Sanandan. So the four Kumaras, who are known as Sanat Kumaras. So he met his elder brothers. And when they saw Narad Muni in that condition, very depressed, very morose, they asked Narad Muni, why are you in this situation? Why are you so sad? What is the problem? And Narad Muni started describing to them what he had observed. So Narad Muni said, I went to the various parts of this world and everywhere I saw so much degradation in this Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga has degraded so much, and he quoted many things about this situation of Kali Yuga. Satyam nashti tapah shocham dayana vidyate. So there is no truthfulness, no austerity, no cleanliness, shocham, and no mercy, daya. So all these things have completely disappeared in this material world. That is the influence of Kali Yuga. Nobody speaks truth. Everybody is ready to fight on small things. There is no austerity. Nobody is willing to perform any austerities. Manda sumanda matayo mand bhagya hi upadrata pakhand nirtah santo viraktah sapigraha. Manda sumanda matayo. All the people are misguided, they are misfortunate, less intelligent. Mand bhagya hi upadrata pakhand nirta. Everywhere it's hypocrisy going on. All the holy places are under the control of malichas and yavanas. All the rivers are getting polluted. And all the so-called brahmanas are also doing all this puja paath just for making money. And whatever Vedas are recited, whatever Puranas are recited, whatever Bhagavat is recited, everything has lost the essence. Everything is done for business. Everybody is just doing it as a business, making money. So a lot of Bhagavat Katha may be happening, but all everywhere the main purpose is to make money. So people have made it as a business. Whenever there is Bhagavat Saptah also is happening. So somebody is conducting a Bhagavat Saptah, they invite somebody to speak on Bhagavat. And that person first is asking how much I will be paid. Right? There is a business deal done earlier. Okay, I want 5 lakh or 10 lakh, 15 lakh. If you pay this much, then I will do Bhagavat Katha. And whatever the donations come, chadhava come, that is my property. That will be also my donation. So all that is going on in the name of business. So when it is as a business, one cannot get the essence of that. The effect of that is lost. So everywhere there is pakhanda happening. On the name of religion, on the name of all this puja paath, yajna, it's all pakhanda happening. All the rivers are polluted. All the holy places are being controlled by yavanas and malichas. Taruni prabhuta gehe se alko buddhidayaka kanya vikarino laubhad dampitam chakalkanam ashram yavani rudhas tirthani sarita tatha देवतायंत्रः दुष्टेर नदति भूरिशः. So everywhere, what is happening? Taruni Prabhuta Gehe. Now, this may be a little disturbing for the Matajis. What is described here in Bhagavad Mahatmya, Narad Muni is describing the situation of the Kali Yuga. And what is he saying? Taruni Prabhuta Gehe. In the every household, the women are controlling everything. Women are controlling, dominating over the men. And their brother, basically the brother-in-law of the man in the house, is the advice giver or the buddhi dayaka. He gives the instructions what to be done, what not to be done. Kanya vikarino lobhad. And the people are selling their daughters. Everybody has become so greedy. Dampita namcha kalkalana. Man, everybody is filled with dumb, pride. Everybody is thinking, I am big. There is nobody more powerful than me, nobody more intelligent than me, nobody more superior than me. So everybody is filled with dumb, pride. And all the ashrams are under the control of yavanas. All the tirthsanas, the holy place, all the rivers, and everything is getting polluted. So that is the situation of the Kali Yuga. And we can see that situation everywhere. Wherever we go, all the holy places actually are under the influence of all the adharmic things. And there is so much of commercialization going on everywhere. It has become all materialistic tendencies everywhere for the sake of making money. So Narad Muni says everywhere, now there is food is being sold, water is being sold. Earlier food is never to be sold, food is to be given in charity. So earlier, even 30 years back, when I was a small child, when we used to go to any holy place, right, in Haridwar or any other devis, so when you go there are dharamshalas. So you can just stay there. There are rooms, accommodations there. And the food is served there. So one person can stay. And all this is given as charity. It's all going on as food is freely served. But now everywhere, it's food is being sold. Right? Everybody is selling food. So all the restaurants have come up. And this thing was unheard of. So earlier, it's anybody goes to a village, and he can just knock on the door and people will give food. He will not have to search for a restaurant. There was no restaurants actually. So that is a degraded situation of Kali Yuga. So Narad Muni said, when I was wandering through all these various places, I was depressed seeing the situation of Kali Yuga. And after wandering through all these places, I came to Vrindavan. And when I came to Vrindavan, at the banks of river Yamuna, I saw a very amazing scene. One woman was sitting there, very depressed situation, and she was very beautiful. And she was crying. And on her side were two elderly people lying down. Two very old looking fellows were lying down, and she was crying. And there are many other women, very beautiful women standing around her trying to console her. So I approached that woman and asked, Devi, who are you? Why are you crying? Why are you so depressed? Please tell me who you are. And as she saw me, she stood up and she paid me obeisances. Said, you are the dear devotee of the Lord. It's my good fortune that I have your darshan. Because seeing a devotee is very rare opportunity. Durlabham manusha deha dehinam kshana bhangur. Tatrapi durlabham manye vaikuntha priya darshanam. So she is describing that it's very rare to get the opportunity to have the darshan of a saintly person. This human form of life is very rare. Durlabham manusha deho. So this human form is very rare. But this human form, after getting human form, one is at the risk of losing it at any time. Dehi naam kshana bhangur. It can be lost at any time. Tatrapi durlabham manne. So I think even more rare than getting the human form of life is vaikuntha priya darshanam. To have the darshan of the devotee of the Lord who is dear to Vaikunthapati. Right? Who is the Vaikunthapati Lord Vishnu. And dear to Lord Vishnu is the devotees. So it's very rare to have the darshan of Vaikuntha Priya. So if we get the opportunity to meet devotees, to come in the association of devotees, one should consider it to be a very rare opportunity, and one should not let it go, slip out of our hands. And that is also the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam itself. So this verse is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, in the 11th canto, this verse is also described, describing the rarity of the human form and the rarity of getting the association of the devotees. So Bhakti Devi said, I am very happy that I got your darshan. I am able to see you. And I am sure my problem will be solved. So Narada, please tell me, what is your problem? What is the cause of your misery? And she said, my name is Bhakti. And these two old fellows lying here are my sons Gyan and Vairagya. I took birth in the Dravida Desh, in South India. In South India there have been many Alavars and Ramanujacharya and all great saintly devotees appeared there. So Bhakti Devi said, I took my birth in Dravida Desh and I was grown up in Karnataka. Then I came to Maharashtra and I was welcomed. There in Maharashtra, many other great sages happened in Maharashtra. But when I came to Gujarat, I became very old. My body became very old. Mera sharir jarjar ho gaya. And all my both sons also became very old. And then when I came to Vrindavan, with the influence of Vrindavan, because it's land of Krishna, I regained my youth. But my sons, Gyan and Vairagya, remained old. So I'm very depressed seeing the situation of my old sons. Nobody is caring for us anymore. Nobody is caring for Bhakti. Nobody is caring for Gyan Vairagya. In Vrindavan, people are attracted towards Bhakti. But in Vrindavan also, nobody care for Gyan or Vairagya. Nobody want Gyan. So my two sons are lying like old fellow. Breathless. They are having hard time breathing. And I am all these women who are standing here, they are all the holy rivers, Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, Narmada, Sindhu, Kaveri. So all these beautiful women who you see here consoling me, they are all the holy rivers, the Tirthas, who have come here to console me. And Narada said, how you came in this situation? You are dear to Lord Krishna, you are dear to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu blessed you and he gave Mukti as your maid servant. So Bhakti Devi has Mukti as its servant. Whoever engages in Bhakti, Mukti is standing with folded hands on the door side. Please accept me also. And whoever is, and Lord gave Bhakti Devi Gyan and Vairagya as her son. So whoever engages in Bhakti, Gyan and Vairagya ultimately arrives itself. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschit mam veti tatvata. Right, and there is very rare person in thousands and thousands of men who try to endeavor to know about the Lord. And one among those who thousands of people who are endeavoring, one may know the Lord in truth, in essence. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanvan mam prapadyate. Vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabha. So after many, many thousands of birth, one who is really in knowledge comes to understand Lord and engages in bhakti. So when one engages in bhakti, Gyan Vairagya automatically arises in the heart. So Narada is saying, I will do my best to revive your sons Gyan and Vairagya. And Narada was thinking, what should I do? And then there was Akashvani. He heard the voice, do Satkarma. And with Satkarma, Bhakti, Gyan, Vairagya will revive to their original position. And Narada Muni thought, I will do Satkarma. And Satkarma is to give knowledge, to recite all the Vedas, all the Upanishads. So Narada Muni started reciting all the Vedas and Upanishads in the ear of these old sons of Bhakti, Gyan and Vairagya. So Narada Muni reciting all the Vedas in their ear, and they are hearing, they pick up their neck little bit, take little breath, but again fell down. So they are gaining something, but again fall down. So Narada is not able to revive them. And he is wondering why it's not working. And then Narada Muni said, I will do my best. I will not be known as Haridas until I revive the situation of Bhakti's sons. And then Narad Muni, wandering through various places, arrived in Bhadrikashram. And at Bhadrikashram, he is staying, trying to figure out what I can do. And at that time, he met the four Kumaras. So this is the background Narad Muni is telling to the four Kumaras. Why he is so depressed? What is the cause of his worry? So the four Kumaras, when they heard all this narrations from Narad Muni, they said, yes, you should do Satkarma. And Narad Muni said, I tried my best. I recited all the Vedas, all the Upanishads in the ears of those two old sons of Bhakti. But nothing worked. And the four Kumaras said, you have forgot what is the essence of the Vedas. The Satkarma is to do Bhagavat Katha. You should recite Bhagavat Katha. And Bhagavat Katha will bring them, restore them in their original position. But Narad Muni said, Bhagavat is the essence of all the Vedas. I already recited all the Vedas, all the Upanishads, all everything. Nothing worked. So how Bhagavat Katha is different than anything else? And Sanat Kumara said, you yourself gave this Bhagavat to Vyasadev. You spoke it to him and Vyasadev expanded it. And you know this is the essence of all the Vedas. Nigamakalpataror galitam phalam. So this is the essence of all the Vedic literature. As if there is a mango tree and somebody want to enjoy the mango fruit. Can you bite on the trunk of the tree and think it will give me the same taste as the mango? So if somebody want to really enjoy the nectar of mango, one has to get the fruit, the ripened fruit of that tree. And everybody know there is milk in the cow, but can somebody put a knife in the cow, cut the cow and get that milk? No, so to get the milk of the cow, to get the milk out of cow, there is a process. So same way Bhagavat Puran is the ripened fruit of all this Vedic tree. As the all the Vedic literature, if we compare as a tree, on that tree there is a ripened fruit which is Srimad Bhagavat. So that's why it's considered as Kalpataror Galitam Phalam. It's a ripened fruit, the mature fruit of that Vedic tree of Vedic literature. So you should recite this Bhagavat Katha, or you should arrange the recitation of this Bhagavat Katha. And as Narad Muni heard this, he became very enthusiastic. Yes, but how can I do? I am a Babaji, I am a traveling monk. I cannot stay at one place. And I am a sannyasi. How can I rent a hall, arrange the sound system and everything to do Bhagavat Katha? So Four Kumara said, nothing is needed. There is one place which is called Anandavan. It's between Bhadrikashram and Haridwar. There is a place Anand. So in that place there is a vat briksh. So under that vat briksh, just make the arrangement for everybody to come sit down and have the Bhagavat Katha be recited. So Narad Muni made all the arrangements. He put the asans for people to come. And Four Kumara said, put the asan for Bhakti Devi and her two sons. And whenever there is Bhagavat Katha happening, Bhakti Devi manifests. Bhakti Devi appears there. And Lord Himself appears there. So Bhagavat Katha, Sanat Kumaras started reciting the Bhagavat Katha. As this Mahatmya itself is getting spoken, Bhakti Devi came there with her two sons. So everybody came to this place. They sat down to do this Bhagavat Katha. And Bhakti Devi, as I said, Bhakti Devi already appeared singing the glories of Krishna. Hey Krishna Govinda Hare Murari, Hey Nath Narayan Vasudeva. So Bhakti Devi appeared there with her two sons. And as this Bhagavat Katha went on, Bhakti Devi is completely restored to her position and the two sons became young again. And Lord Krishna personally appeared at the Bhagavat Katha. And Lord Krishna blessed, said, what is the place, the residence for Bhakti? And Narad Muni said, whoever is hearing Bhagavat Katha, please bless that Bhakti Devi enters into their hearts. So the residence of Bhakti Devi is the heart of all the listeners of Bhagavat Katha. So let Bhakti Devi reside in the heart of everybody who is assembling to hear Srimad Bhagavat Katha. So that is the blessing. Lord Krishna said, Tathastu. So Bhakti Devi enters into the heart of everybody, whoever is ready to hear Srimad Bhagavat Katha, ready to hear Harikatha. That is the benediction given by Lord Himself. So that is the Mahatmya of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there is one another very wonderful pastime which describes the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is the pastime of at another time. So Skanda Puran describes this another narration of Bhagavat Mahatmya. So at one time, at the bank of Tungabhadra river, there was a village. And there lived a Brahmana named Atmaram. And this, he was a very strict Brahmana doing all this, his rituals, his puja part. And this Brahmana, he was engaged in all his duties and he had no son. Even though he had everything, but he was not very happy because he had no son. And his wife, actually his wife was of very bad nature. She was very quarrelsome, will not behave properly with everybody. Her name was Dhundali. So this Brahmana named Atmaram and her wife Dhundali. And this Brahmana had no son and that was the cause of his distress. And this Brahmana thought, I don't have any son and let me at least bring a cow in my home. And that cow will give birth to a calf and I will consider that calf as my son and just serve them. So he brought a cow to his home and even that cow did not give birth to any calf. So he was very depressed and one time he went into the forest lamenting. He went at the bank of the river thinking of giving up his life. That let me just give up my life. What is the use of this life? And as he was going there, he went there. One sadhu came there. And this person, this Atmaram was sitting there with his face in his knees crying. And this sadhu thought, oh, he looks like very nice Brahmana. Maybe he is crying because he is not able to see the Lord. That's why he is crying. So this sadhu came in front of this Brahmana and asked him, son, why are you crying? Are you not able to see the Lord? That is the cause of your distress. And he said, no, I'm depressed because I don't have a son. And the sadhu said, why are you so depressed? There is no use of lamentation. What is the guarantee having a son will give you happiness? And that is your karma, whatever is your prarabdha, because of that you did not get a son. Please don't be depressed, because even if you get a son, it may not really bring you happiness. And this Brahmana said, see, I am also Brahmana, I also do lot of katha. Please don't give me any katha. Tell me if you can help me. I can also do lot of pravachan. So the sadhu said, no, you will not understand my message. So he insisted, no, I want a son, please help me. Please do something if you can do to bless me with a son. So this sadhu, seeing the situation of this Brahmana, to give him a lesson, he said, okay, I will bless you that you will gain a son and that son will give you the real knowledge, bring detachment in your life and turn you towards the Supreme Lord. So he put hand in his jhola, his pocket or something, and he brought a fruit out. So take this fruit and give this fruit to your wife. And because of this fruit, by the blessings of this fruit, you will get a son. And that will be the cause of bringing all detachment, giving you the ultimate goal of your life. And actually this sadhu, he thought, he gave the lifelong austerity, the result of his lifelong austerity to this Brahmana in the form of this fruit. And as the Brahmana went away, few steps down, this sadhu gave up his life that I myself will appear as his son to give him the lesson. So this person, this Brahmana Atmaram, being very pleased, he came home, went to his wife and gave her the fruit. Please eat this fruit. This will bring a child in our life. By eating this fruit, you will become pregnant and it will give birth to a child. And as the wife of that Brahmana, Dhundali, as Dhundali heard this, She was very angry in the heart. She was, I don't want to have a child. I don't want to give up my beauty. I don't want to give up my bodily luster and beauty. If I have, if I become pregnant, I will lose all my beauty, all my bodily become figure shapeless or something. So that is the situation of the modern woman, right? They don't want to give birth to a child. And people think we want to enjoy, but we don't want to conceive a child. So the modern mentality is also depicted here. Not taking the responsibility of raising a child. Not taking the responsibility of giving birth to a child. But enjoying the facilities. So this woman, she was very cunning. And she was thinking, how can I avoid eating this fruit? And just not let my husband know. So she told, okay, you go, I will eat this fruit. So don't worry. So Atmaram went out and she was keeping this fruit. And this fruit was actually looking very beautiful and very shining. So after some time, her sister came to her house. And she told her everything. What has happened? My husband want a son. And he has become mad. He is so insisting on having a child. And he brought this fruit from somewhere, that some sadhu has given him this fruit. If I eat this fruit, I will become pregnant and give birth to a child. And her sister was also like her. She was also very cunning. She said, no, don't eat this fruit. If you eat this fruit, you become pregnant, you will lose all your beauty and all your health and everything. So do one thing. Just throw out this fruit or give this fruit to your cow. And you pretend in front of your husband as if you become pregnant. Just put some cloth or something at your stomach and pretend that you have become pregnant. And she told, actually I am pregnant, and then when my child is born, I will give that child to you. I will send my husband with the child. So you take that child and in the exchange you give some money to my husband. So that is the situation which is mentioned earlier, right? The people will sell their children just for money. People will be so degraded, they will be willing to sell their child to gain some money. So she said, I will give my child to you and you in exchange give some money to my husband. So and she, Dhundali, became very happy that yes, let's do that. And she ate that fruit to the cow. And she started pretending as if she is pregnant by tying a cloth on her stomach. And this Brahman, and she started telling the Brahman, you stay more time out of the house. Because if you are in the house, I have to do more work and I will be in trouble. I want to just lie on bed and take rest. So that is another situation of Kali Yuga, right? People, as soon as the woman become pregnant, they want to take more and more rest. Give up all the work. Oh, I'm very tired. I'm not feeling well. Let me just take rest. I mean, sometimes it's a genuine situation that in that situation, mothers need more rest. But sometimes it's just to avoid work. Let my mother-in-law do more work. Or my husband take care of everything. So, she started just lying on bed and enjoy, take rest. And started telling her husband, you try to stay more time outside, do your work outside. So, time passed by. And when the child of her sister was born, so she sent that child through her husband. So the sister's husband came to bring that child and gave the child, and in exchange she gave a lot of money. And she was lying with keeping the baby on the side. As Atmaram came home, she saw the baby lying there crying. He was very happy, very ecstatic. He picked up the child and he was kissing the child, kissing his forehead, and he brought him outside on the door as he is holding him. And at that time he saw the Brahmanas standing there. And Brahmanas are doing the Swasti Vachan. So they are reciting the prayers. And Brahmana thought, oh, all these Brahmanas, all these saintly people have come to bless my child. So he tried to give the child to them, that they will hold the child and bless him. And the Brahmanas actually stepped back. They refused to hold the child. And this Brahman Atmaram thought, if you did not want to bless my child, why did you come here? They said, we came here to bless your child, but not this one. Actually, there is another child born in your house. Go to Goshala. In your Goshala, there is another child born. So Brahmana was amazed. He went in the Goshala. And under the cow, he saw another boy lying there, another baby. So the cow had given birth to a child. And that was the result of that fruit the sadhu had given, the result of the austerities of his whole life. And even though the cow had given this birth to this child was like a human child, but his ears were like the ears of the cow. So the Brahmana picked up that baby. The cow was licking that baby. So Brahmana picked up that baby, brought this baby also out. So the Brahmana started reciting the prayers and they hold on to that baby. They said, we'll name this baby as Gokarna. Because his ears are like the ears of a cow. So they named the baby as Gokarna. And they told Atmaram, can we take this baby with us? You keep one baby and give this baby to us. We will raise this baby and prepare this baby. So Brahmana agreed, let this baby stay with the other saintly people and let them teach him, guide him. And I will keep this other son which is born from my wife. So he went inside and told his wife, that I want to name my son as Paramatmaram. My name is Atmaram. I will name my son Paramatmaram. And Dhundal immediately, how come you will name the son as on your name? See, I took trouble so much. I carried him 9 months in my womb. I had the trouble of giving the labor pain and everything. And now you want to name him on your name? I will name on my name. Atmaram said, okay, that's okay, you can name it on your name. So what do you want to name him? So my name is Dhundali, I will name him Dhundakari. See, that is mentality. So she named him Dhundakari. Dhundali's son, Dhundakari. So as Dhundakari is growing up, and he has the influence of all his qualities which he is inherited from his parents, from his mother and father, all the sanskaras, whatever thought process one has during the pregnancy, that impressions go in the baby. So if the mother is thinking cunning things, is bad behavior, all those sanskaras go in the child. Whatever atmosphere is there around that place, all that influence go in the child. Actually, this is very true. We can see in different things in different child. Once one Mataji, one woman, she gave birth to a child and this child used to cry a lot. He will be just crying all the time. And only at one particular time, he will become very quiet. And she took the child to the doctor to tell it, to see what is wrong with the child, why he is crying all the time. So she was describing to the doctor, he is crying all the time, only at this particular time he becomes very quiet. And that time is when she is watching that particular TV serial. And all other time he will be very crying, very cranky. And the doctor asked, did you used to watch this when you were pregnant, when you were carrying this baby? He said, yeah, this was my favorite serial. I will be waiting for that serial to come every day. And I will be very stressed out all the time. And this particular time when this serial is coming, that 1 hour I will sit in front of the TV and be very relaxed and watch this TV serial. So that is the thing. This whole impression, the sanskara has gone in the child. The child throughout the other time is very stressful, very distressed, is crying all the time. But this particular time, he becomes very calm and quiet. So the impressions, what mother is carrying, what mother is having during the pregnancy, all those impressions go in the baby. Sometimes if the mother is reading a lot, right, from the scriptures, from Ramayana, Mahabharata, so that natural tendency, that natural devotion gets in the baby. And the child is more absorbed in those activities. So this baby, Dhundakari, he was very quarrelsome. As he was growing up, he will be fighting with all the other kids in the neighborhood. He will push them. He will push somebody in the well. So he is fighting with everybody, and all the people in the neighborhood will come to complain to Atmaram. See, your child, he is making trouble. He is beating up our children. And Atmaram was very sad and very stressed out. He was thinking, why this child is behaving like this? And as he grew up more, he started picking up all other wrong habits. He started drinking. He started gambling. And Atmaram tried to teach him, please do not do this. This is a very bad thing. And this person told, get lost from here. If you tell me more, I'm going to kick you. So he is ready to kick his own father. So Atmaram is very depressed. And one day he went into the forest. Better than having this son, I was better without the son. Let me just go to the forest and give up my life. And as he went into the forest, he was sitting on a stone. And from the back of the bushes, he saw somebody or he heard somebody coming. This person came, and as he touched Atmaram, Atmaram became very pacified, very calm and quiet. And this person who came was the other son, Gokarna. So he was raised by all other brahmanas and saintly people, and he grew up with that association, reading all the scriptures, and he had acquired all the saintly qualities. And as he came to his father, asked him, what is the cause of your lamentation? What is the cause of your worry? So this, my other son, your brother Dhundakari, he is the cause of my worry. He is having all these bad habits. He is not ready to give up. He told, why are you so concerned? Everybody comes in this world with their own account of karma. They have to go through their own karmic reaction. Why are you so attached to your son? Give up that association. Just focus your attention on the Supreme Lord. You engage in the service of the Supreme Lord, giving up all other attachments. So the words of Gokarna enter into the heart of Atmaram. And he gave up everything and just went into the forest to engage in devotional service, leaving up everything. As the sadhu had said him in the beginning, the boy born as a result of this fruit will be able to show you the right path, will be able to bring up detachment in your life. So hearing the words of Gokarna, Atmaram left everything and went into the forest. And here on the other side, Dhundakari, he is growing up, he is becoming youth, and his wrong habits are growing even more and more and more. He started drinking, gambling, now he started associating with the prostitutes. And he comes to his home, beat up his mother, snatches up all the jewelry, give me everything. If you don't give me, I will beat you. So he snatched all the jewelry, he took the jewelry from her neck, all her necklace and everything, and went away to maintain those prostitutes, to fulfill their desires. Again one day he came to home, beating up his mother, he asked me, sure, tell me where all the property or all the money is buried in the ground. I know you have buried all the property, all the wealth under the ground. Tell me where it is. Otherwise, I will kill you. So she told him, I don't have anything. You already took everything. So he beat up his mother and again left the house. So she is thinking, what is the use of my son? I'm facing the reaction of my own karma. I lied to my husband. I kept the truth hidden from him. And I did so many bad things. Because of that, now I'm facing all this reaction. I don't want to live with that. Let better I give up my life. So she jumped in the well and gave up her life. The lesson for us to learn is, if the woman is not listening to the husband or not following the advice of the husband, following the instructions of the husband, all that destruction comes there. As in the case of Sati also, because Sati did not heard the advice of Lord Shiva, she went to test Lord Ram. And what was the end result? She gave up her life in the sacrifice of Daksha, in the yagya of Daksha. So if the woman lies to husband, hide from the husband, that brings the whole destruction, fall down. That's why the scripture says the woman should be under the care of the husband. When she is young, she is under the care of the father. And as she grows up, she is married, she is under the care of the husband. And later on, if the husband is not there, she is under the care of the son. So throughout the life, at various stages, woman should be always under the care of the father or the husband or the son. But now, in Kali Yuga, the situation is completely upside down. Everybody thinks, hum kya pair ki juti hain? We are not the doormat. We have our own independence. We want to be free. We want to do whatever we like. But that's the root cause of all the problems. As Narad Muni was describing the symptoms of Kali Yuga, the woman becomes the controller in the household. And they want to control everything. The real intention, the injunctions of the scriptures is woman should be under the care of the seniors in the house, either the father or the husband. So, in Dhundali's situation, because of her all the bad things she had done, she had to meet that suffering. Her own son, whom she showered so much love out of affection, he became the cause of her own suffering. And finally she gave up the life because of the torture of that son. So after beating up mother and taking up all the property, Dundakari went away. He started staying with those prostitutes. And one day this prostitute demanded him more money, more jewelry and nice clothes and everything. And Dundakari is thinking, from where should I get all that? And he went into the palace of the king and stole the jewelry and all these things from king's palace and brought the whole big bag in front of these women. And as they saw this jewelry, they thought, oh, this jewelry doesn't seem very ordinary. This looks like royal jewelry. So they asked him, from where did you get this jewelry? He said, I stole it from the palace. And this woman thought, he has done a big crime. He will be captured by the king's soldiers and he will be punished. And if we are with him, we will also be punished. So they made a plan among themselves. Let's kill this Dundakari and run away with all this wealth. So inside his own house, inside the house of Dundakari, they bind him up and they try to kill him by putting the pillow on his mouth, stopping his breathing. They try to kill him, but he was not dying. And ultimately they brought a burning rod and put it inside his mouth, choking his mouth, finally killing him. And then they cut him up and buried him in the ground. So what is the end result of all these bad things he has done? He did not respect his parent, he did not respect his father, his mother, never heard their advice. At the end, he has to meet the consequences. He has to give up his life. And those women, they just ran away with all the property and burning the house, putting the house on fire, making it look like Dundakari just got killed in the house fire. As this news spread, people thought, oh, Dundakari is killed in this fire. And news came to Gokarn. Gokarn at that time was in Gaya. And when he heard the news that, oh, my brother has passed away, he has died. So he did his pindadan there. He did the puja as the final rites for Dundakari, giving the pindadan and everything. And after that, some time later, this Gokarna came to his village. And he thought, let me go to my house. Even though nobody is there now, my father has already left, mother has died, and my brother has died. So let me just go there and see everything, how everything is. So he went there, he was staying there at the night. And as he was staying there at night, he saw some amazing, some different surprising things happening. He saw one goat is running away, then from other side one bull is running away. the window is closing itself, the door is opening itself, all these things is happening. And he understood there is some wandering soul which is causing all these things. So he took his kamandala, recited the mantra, sprinkled the purified water, and this person, the ghost, appeared in the ghost form. So Gokarna asked, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am your brother Dundakari." And Gokarna thought, "I already did your Shraddha, I already did your Pindadan, and how come you are still in this ghost form? Why you are not delivered after even doing the Pindadan and Shraddha ceremony and everything?" He said, "I will not get mukti so easily. I will not get freedom from this sinful reaction so easily. I am a very sinful person. I have tortured my own father and mother. I never respected them. So my mukti will not be very easy." The person who does not respect his own father and mother, there is nothing good, no auspicious thing for him in this life or the next. Sometimes we become devotees, we think, "Oh, I'm becoming a very nice devotee, I'm chanting." But if one does not offer respect to the parents, respect to the father and mother, Krishna also does not accept our bhakti. Because in this world, Krishna has given father and mother as his representation. We sing the prayer to Krishna, "Tomeva mata pita tomeva, tomeva bandhu cha sakha tomeva." You are my father, you are my mother, you are my most dear friend. So Krishna has sent his representation in the form of father and mother. And if we don't take care of father and mother, if we don't respect them, our bhakti is also actually not giving the fruit. So this person, because he did so much of sinful activities, tortured his own father and mother with all these things which Gokarna had done, still he did not get freedom from this ghost form. So he requested Gokarna, "Please do something from me, relieve me from this ghost, bhut yoni, preta yoni." So Gokarna is thinking, "What should I do? I already did the Shraddha, I already recited the Vedas and everything." So he was thinking, and in the morning, as he was offering the water to sun god Vivaswan, as in the morning people offer Aragya, so he heard the voice from Suryadev that recite Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the only way to give deliverance to your brother Dundakari. So then Gokarna arranged the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the village, the Bhagavat Katha was arranged. And now they thought, okay, everybody is invited. This Dundakari, how we make Dundakari sit at one place? He is a ghost, he cannot stay at one place. So they made one bamboo. They got one bamboo stick with seven knots in that. And they have Dundakari sit inside that bamboo. That you stay in one place fixed so that you will not be waving around with the wind. So you stay fixed in one place. And as Gokarna started reciting the whole Bhagavat Katha, every day, as the day is passing, one by one, the one knot of this bamboo stick is bursting out. And at this end of 7th day, when the whole Bhagavat Katha is done, whole 24/7 this Bhagavat Katha went on, at the end of 7th day that Bhagavat Katha, they saw one Pushpak Viman coming from Vaikuntha. One Viman came with the Vishnu Dutas, came there, and they have took Dundakari. Dundakari put him on the Viman, and Dundakari got a very wonderful form as Vishnu Dutas itself. And as they are taking Dundakari away, he got freedom from this Preta Yoni. He became like Vishnu Dutas. Everybody is surprised that how come only Dundakari got that result of hearing Bhagavad Katha, he got freedom from this Preta Yoni, and he is getting liberation. He is going back to the spiritual world. Why not everybody else? And then Vishnu Dutta said, everybody heard Bhagavad Katha, but everybody has different result. Because the result is based on the capacity or based on how everybody heard Katha. It's not that everybody heard Katha same or same way. Yes, everybody is sitting in the Katha, but everybody is not hearing it in the same way. Is that right or wrong? So even though we may be sitting in katha, but the way we hear or how much we hear, it depends on individual person. So he said there are different type of listeners, as I described in the last time also. So there are different type of listeners. First type of listener is who is fully absorbed in hearing. He is completely absorbed, grasping everything, absorbing everything, not just getting drenched in the nectar, but filling up his pot also, filling up his heart with that nectarian katha also. There is other type of listener who is just sitting there, passing the time, thinking when it will be over, when I will go home. Even though he is physically present here, his mind is somewhere else. He is thinking about the home, he is thinking about the job, he is thinking about the kids. So all these various thoughts are going on. But he is not absorbed in katha. He may be thinking, analyzing various things happening, looking at other people, looking at different things, looking at the various arrangements done, analyzing the behavior of the speaker, why speaker is speaking like this, why he is speaking this word so often, why he is repeating this so often. Not actually getting the message, not actually understanding or realizing the message. And there is a third type of listener, which I said last time. So the listener in Hindi is called Shrota. So teesri tarah ka Shrota hai jo katha mein sota hai. So everybody, even though everybody heard, everybody was sitting there in the katha, but everybody gets the result based on how they hear. Because Dhundhakari was so absorbed in hearing katha, 24/7 he was just standing there, sitting there, completely absorbed in hearing, he got the best result. That he is going back to the spiritual world. So next time, they ask Gokarna to arrange katha again, and everybody is invited. Everybody came there, sat in katha, heard the katha very attentively, forgetting everything. We don't want to think about anything. We don't want to think about our family and everything. We want to get the ultimate result of hearing Harikatha. And everybody at the end of that katha got the ultimate result. The many Vimanas came and putting everybody on the Vimana. Everybody sat on the Vimana and they all went to the spiritual world. Atmaram also went. Atmaram sat on the Vimana and went to the spiritual world. Gokarna, who spoke the Bhagavad Katha. So that is the result of hearing Bhagavad Katha. It gives the ultimate result of bringing bhakti, jnana, vairagya in the heart. As bhakti come, jnana and vairagya by default come. And mukti is standing with folded hands. Please accept me also. So that is the mahatmya of Bhagavad which is described in other Puranas. That what is the result? How one should hear Bhagavad Katha? So even though Bhagavad Katha is not happening the way it used to be, at when Shukdev Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj, it was 24/7. Right? For 7 days it happened like that. Nobody was hungry, nobody felt hunger, nobody felt thirst, nobody was feeling sleepy. Everybody was so absorbed in hearing Harikatha. Now katha happens maybe 2-3 hours a day for 7 days. And speaker will recite few particular main pastimes. And the ultimate goal is, so they will be speaking Harikatha, and in between there will be some kirtan, some they will sing some bhajans, and ultimate goal is to make people dance. You know why? The devotee, as the devotees start dancing on those bhajans and everything, when they are dancing, they throw more money as donations, as dakshinas. So that's why the speakers, they are doing all this, katha is going on and every little discussion, pastime happened and then something will go on so that people will dance and throw money and all that. So all katha is happening as a business. When the intention is business, making money, the result of the katha is not obtained. And Bhagavatam says how one should hear katha, actually what is the result of hearing katha. Katha bhagavatasya api nityam bhavati yad grahe tad graham tirtha rupam hi vastvam vastam papanashanam. Katha bhagavatasya api nityam bhavati yad grahe. So in the house where Bhagavad Katha is happening every day, Tad Graham Teertha Rupam Hi, that house becomes like a Teertha, becomes like a holy place. Vastam Papa Nashanam, all the sinful tendencies around that place, of all the people staying around that place, are all removed. Ashavmedha Sahasrani, Vajpaya Shatani Cha, Shuka Shastra Kathayascha, Kalam Narahanti Shodashim. Even one does thousands of Ashavmedha Yajna, if one does hundreds of Vajpaya Yajna, the result of all that is not even 1/16 to the result obtained by doing the Katha of Shuka Shastra Kathayascha. Shuka Shastra. So Bhagavatam is also known as Shuka Shastra, which is spoken by Shukadev Goswami. So Shuka Shastra Kathayascha Kalam Narahati Shodisham. So all these thousands of Ashamay Yajna, hundreds of Vajpayee Yajnas, not even equal to 1/16 of the Bhagavad Katha. And even if one here, one read one shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is better than doing a yajna. Antakale tu yeneva shruyate shuka shastra vak prityatasyeva vaikuntham govindopi prayachati. If one hears at the time of death, one hears this Srimad Bhagavat Katha, hears this scripture recited by Shukadev Goswami, Shuka Shastra Vak. So if at the time of death one hears this Srimad Bhagavat Katha, he becomes very dear to Lord and he goes to the abode of the Supreme Lord. He becomes dear to Vaikuntham Govindopi Prayachati. He goes to Vaikuntha, the abode of Govinda. So that is the Mahatmya, that is the influence of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why we stress on one should read Bhagavatam regularly. Right? Even if somebody reads one shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is more beneficial. And Bhagavatam brings bhakti, jnana, vairagya as a side effects, as end result of our devotional service. So with that, we will stop here with Bhagavatam Mahatmya. So this time we have not even entered in Bhagavatam yet. We are just touching the cover of Srimad Bhagavatam, just discussing the Bhagavat Mahatmya. So we have, so Bhagavatam is, as I said, is the literary incarnation of Krishna. So there are 12 cantos of Bhagavat, right? There is, as in a tree, there is a trunk, and then on the trunk there are different branches. So like that, there are different branches. All these 12 cantos are like different branches. And then on that branches, there are other small branches, the twigs and the leaves and everything. So all these chapters, all the shlokas are like the different fruits, flowers, leaves on those branches. So we will, next time, we'll enter into Bhagavatam and we'll discuss the first three shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. First canto, first three shlokas, or in a summary, we'll do the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So first three shlokas are actually the Mangalacharan in Bhagavatam. So as in the beginning, we did Mangalacharan, right? So Mangalacharan is invoking the mercy of Guru, the Lord and the devotees. And in the Bhagavatam has its Mangalacharan. The speaker has given its Mangalacharan. So first three verses of Bhagavatam is the Mangalacharan by the speaker of Bhagavatam. And who are the speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam? So first Vyasadeva, and then Shukdev Goswami, and then Suta Goswami. So like that, the first three verses are Mangalacharan by the three speakers. So first verse, Mangalacharan by Srila Vyasadeva. Second verse, Mangalacharan by Shukdev Goswami. Third verse, Mangalacharan by Suta Goswami. So there's a Mangalacharan in Bhagavatam itself, And same way, there is a Mangalacharan and Bhagavatam Mahatmya. So the first verse of Bhagavat Mahatmya is the Mangalacharan of Bhagavat Mahatmya. And that verse we recited in the beginning. Anybody remembers? Satchidananda Rupaya. Vishwatpatyadi Hetave. Tapataraya Vinashaya. Sri Krishnaya Vayam Namaha. So we pay our obeisances to Lord Krishna, who is the manifestation of Sat Chit Anand. His form is eternity, bliss and knowledge. Vishvotpatyadi Hetave. He is the cause of the whole creation, maintenance and destruction. Tapatraya Vinashaya. And he removes the influence of the threefold miseries. Tapatraya Vinashaya. Satchidananda Rupaya Vishvotpatyadi Hetave. Tapatraya Vinashaya Sri Krishnaya Vayam Namaha. So thank you very much. We'll stop here with Srimad Bhagavatam's discussion today. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Vijay Prabhu, can you stop the recording? And we can end with the Narasimha prayer.